Luke chapter 10, verse 25, as we cover verses 25 through 28, and as we continue on through the book of Luke, looking today at keeping it simple. Notice what it says in verse 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' And so he answered and said, 'Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" Father, this morning, as we look at your word, again, you have very clear and basic instruction. Nothing complicated, not hard, not difficult. And yet, Lord God, there are those who try to make your word and simple obedience difficult. Lord, don't let us be one of those. Let us simply take your word for what it simply says. Believe it, obey it, and apply it. And Lord, today I pray that you would just minister to our hearts, God, even as you did to this particular man this day, so that we might know exactly, Lord, how do we serve you and how do we keep it simple? Lord, bless our time in your word and teach us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, last week we saw the Lord rejoicing because the Father had revealed glorious kingdom truths, eternal knowledge, not to the wise and the prudent of the world, but rather to the babes of the world. And remember, we talked about that. Why did the Lord rejoice that it wasn't revealed to the wise and the prudent, but he rejoiced that it was revealed to babes? For this simple reason, it's not that the Lord didn't want the wise and the prudent to have the knowledge. It's not that the Lord didn't want the wise and prudent in the world to have the eternal perspective, if you will, and to come to the Lord. It's simply that so many of the wise and prudent, those who consider themselves above the rest of the fray, typically have such an issue with pride and arrogance that the Lord can't reach them. And so the Lord delighted to reach those who would just simply believe him at his word and simply believe what he said. As we said earlier, not speaking of not being wise or not, or being dumb or something like that wasn't the point. The point was just believe in God. Believing that he has all knowledge, believing that he knows what's right, and taking him at his word for his word and what he says. God, the Lord delights in that. And I can see Jesus rejoicing. You know, we talked about it. He's like, "Oh Lord, there's all these scholars down here in Jerusalem where the Bible college was of the day, if you will, and all of them are missing it. None of them are getting it. And you've got these little fishermen here. You've got these guys that everybody thinks, I don't even want to hang around the guy. Because of, you know, they need to bathe more often than most people just to be able to be around them. And yet you have chosen to reveal the glorious kingdom truths to them that will change a world. And you've hidden them from all the collegiate elite." Now again, not that college is wrong, not that intellectualism, not that having a good intellect is wrong. What a blessing of the Lord. How exciting it is for God to have given that gift. And if you have that, God bless you. But what a danger that gift is when the person begins to take that intellect and believe that somehow they're smarter than God. And when that takes place, that's when God says, "I can't reach you." And that's when the babes say, "Well, you know what? I believe what you say, Lord. What do you want to tell me?" And God simply reveals it, and it's exciting. Now, we have the same group around today. We have those around today. You see, the man we're looking at today, understand this, and we'll get into this when we get to this. The first few verses here, the grammar here in the Greek reveals that the man was asking this question not as an honest question. He was asking this as an intellectual, biblical scholar wanting a theological debate with this new rabbi who seemed to have this great following going because he was hanging around, well, basically with the wrong crowd, this guy thought. You're not hanging around with those that really are the elite. You're not hanging around with those that really have the higher training, if you will, in the intellectual circles and scholars. Certainly these people could not be useful to you at all. And obviously you yourself must not be, well, probably very smart. And again, the language reveals that when he asked this question, it had kind of this tone and kind of this thought to it of a challenge. Like, okay, Mr. Important Rabbi, you tell me. And that's going to be the idea behind this as we get into it. Guys, we see him today. We see those people today. We have these groups, they call themselves the higher scholars, or rather they call themselves the higher critics. and claim to be scholars in the Word of God. And it's interesting, you may have not heard about them, and I hope you haven't, but they get together once a year, this group of scholars, and they decide what Jesus really said in the Scriptures and what he didn't. And the things that they believe he didn't really say because of their intellectual prowess, they scribble out. And they say, well, you guys can have that Bible that has everything in it if you want it, but we know that these things aren't really there. And you know, it's convenient that they take things out that tend to challenge their lifestyle. I find that very interesting and convenient. And the Lord says, no, you know what? My word is to be taken in entirety. And whether they have the name scholar behind it or not, I'm not impressed. That doesn't impress me. I said it before and I'll say it again, and I mean it with all my heart. I'd rather have a month-old Christian sharing to me some new truth out of the Word in excitement that God has shown him that day than to have some dead spiritual biblical scholar bore me for an hour. Any day. And so, again, you guys, maybe you saw that. I mean, it's amazing how the world in their intellectualism, oh, don't tell me you actually believe the Bible. Don't tell me you actually believe that you take it literally. Don't tell me. And there's this condescending attitude. Maybe some of you guys saw this whole Mike Wallace interview about talking about our president. Again, my point is not to be political or pick sides, but what I caught as a pastor is he was questioning this Bob Woodward character about what President Bush had said, and President Bush had made a comment about answering to a higher father than his own. You see, their idea was, shouldn't you go to another president? Your dad's one, you need counsel. Yes, that's a wise thing. I would consider that wisdom. But there's a higher father than my earthly father who has all wisdom. And that's the one that I need to be seeking and listening to. And President Bush made a comment about that. And Mike Wallace said, it was this whole condescending kind of, so he hears from a higher father? Maybe you saw the interview. Maybe you saw it. I'm afraid that he does. Oh, we have a president that wants to hear from God. Have mercy on us. Guys, what a sad place it is in our nation. When we have a leader of our nation who says, I really need to hear from God on this because this is going to deal with thousands of people's lives, the future of the nation, and everything else. And yet we have people that say, oh, so there's some father. Is it the little man in your top pocket that talks to you, President Bush? See, that's the attitude, guys. And that's the attitude that you will be addressed with oftentimes by the intellectual. Don't let it intimidate you. I can imagine. Think of the disciples. Question for you. Now, again, let me make this clear. I'm not against getting educated. As a matter of fact, we'll see tonight, we'll see today, and we'll talk about it. We as Christians, we had better be studied in the Word of God. It's a command. We had better be educated and have knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish due to lack of knowledge. But guys, can you imagine the pressure on the disciples in that day? Because let me ask you this question. Where did they go to Bible college? Oh, nowhere. So now they have messages from God. Oh, you hear special messages from God. And now you're going to all the biblical scholars in Jerusalem and you're sharing. Can you imagine? Excuse me, where did you have your training? When I would fish, God would speak to my heart and I would read his word. Oh, you fishing, huh? So you got your training. I got it. Okay, good guy to follow here. Guys, understand this. God delights to amaze the world at the simplicity of his power and truth and how he takes very normal people and uses them to change the world. That is exactly what he did with the disciples. And the Lord is going to be dealing with one of these guys today that he has to deal with. Again, thinking that they have the highest knowledge. It's the ultimate underdog story, guys. Christianity is. Not that God doesn't save those that are the intellect and all. He does. There's lots of them out there. The problem is there's more that aren't than are because oftentimes the pride factor stops them from receiving what God has for them. And let me say this. What I have found is, and what I've seen to be true, it's not a problem with intellect that keeps people from Christ. It's a problem. It's a heart problem. It's a heart condition that keeps them from getting there. The ultimate Christian story is the ultimate rags to riches. You know, the gospel is simple. Let's keep it simple. We don't need to get so complicated. I'm not saying there aren't deep truths in the Word of God that we need to study. You guys know, those of you that have been coming for any length of time, one of the things we like to do is dig deep into the Word. We like to do Greek, Hebrew studies. We like to look at background. We like to say, God, show us the riches of your Word. The Bible says there's meat there. There's gold. There's jewels. You know, if you're going to dig for gold, you've got to do what? You got to dig. And only those who dig are going to find it. You don't find gold laying on top of the ground. If you did, we'd all be rich. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, it probably wouldn't be as valuable, so it wouldn't matter. My point is this. Guys, listen. Yes, we dig. Yes, we need to be students. Yes, we need to have knowledge. Yes, we need to understand. But we need to also realize that we need to keep it simple. So many people make it so complicated when it's not. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 18:17. He said, "Assuredly I say to you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Note that. He's not, now this, we need to be clear on this. He's not saying to be childish. There's a difference in childish and childlike. Childish is pitching temper tantrums and you know, "I'll have it my way." And this is, you know what childish is like. If you've had children, you know that. But guys, childlike just simply means, you know what? I just believe my dad. My dad said it, I believe it. Children simply believe their dad. Now, there are men in the world, there are dads in the world that will lie to their children, but the Heavenly Father will never lie to you. So you can believe what he says. You can trust in what he says, and you can believe him literally as well. And again, we talk about believing the scriptures literally. You know, there certainly there are pictures and there are types and there are symbols in the scripture. And I think oftentimes, if you are the person who says, "Well, I believe the Bible literally," oftentimes it will be the scholar that will attack you. And the critic will say, "Well, so that means that Jesus is a piece of wood with a doorknob. Didn't he say, 'I am the door. No one goes to the Father but by me'?" It doesn't mean he's a piece of wood with a doorknob. It means that he is the door into heaven. Yes, he's using a picture. He's using a symbol, but it has a literal meaning behind it. In Revelation, when we see the dragon in the heavens and the woman giving birth to the child, guys, the Old Testament tells us what all of those symbols are. It's not hard. The Bible tells us the dragon is Satan. The Bible tells us the woman with the stars over her head is Israel. The Bible says Israel will give birth to a Messiah. That's the baby. And the Bible says the dragon will be waiting to devour it. What happened when Christ was born? What did Herod do? Killed all the children, 2 years old and younger. Very literal meaning. And yet, symbols, pictures, types that are used. So it's not that we believe that there are going to be real dragons up in the heaven that we're going to see and that Jesus is a piece of wood with a doorknob. What it means is, yes, there are symbols. Yes, there are pictures used in scripture, but they all have literal meanings. Guys, that's being childlike. That's simply just believing the Lord for what he says. Now, again, we have to be careful about the personal interpretation aspect. You know, again, I think, and why do I bring this up? Because this man that we're looking at today, he wants to get in the theological debate with the Lord. And those oftentimes that want to deny God's word or stay away from the clear teaching of God's word, they will try to engage you in a theological debate. And then they will either go into allegory or all kinds of things, whatever, and say, "Well, that's your interpretation. Here's how I interpret it." Guys, the problem with doing our own interpretation, if I do my personal interpretation and the accuser in the world would say, "Well, again, that's all you're doing is your personal interpretation." No, I'm just taking it for what it says. Simply believing my father at face value at what his word says. But guys, note this. If you simply go by what a personal interpretation is rather than simply what the word says, let me ask you this. Who's the authority at that point? Not God's word. Not God. Because now you're telling me what it means. No, you have just become the authority, therefore nullifying God's word. We have to be so careful. And again, God's going to deal with this guy today because he's a scribe. This scribe comes to Jesus. Now again, who are the scribes? You need to understand, it says he's a lawyer. This is not the typical interpretation of what we would say today is a lawyer. Not a lawyer as in you go to law and you have somebody to hire. This is a lawyer of the law. This is an expert. This is what we would call today a biblical scholar. So now this biblical scholar who's well-trained in the scriptures has come now to bring these issues to the Lord. That's the picture you need to have in your mind when we see this thing unfolding and understand the heart behind what's going on. And so we're going to see that the Lord again, which is going to be our counsel today, when you run across these type of people, what do? Simply take them back to the Word of God and simply believe the Word of God for the Word of God. You know, it's interesting. Children naturally believe things literally. Those of you that have kids, you know that. When you talk to your child, they just believe things very literally. They just take it that way. Now, that doesn't always mean they're right. That's not my point. But it is amusing. And again, that is the childlikeness that we need to have with the Word of God, taking it literally. Somebody sent me some list of things that kids, because I thought these were cute. I want to share them with you, of how kids take things and how their mind works and how they analogize. Again, just the innocence, the approach to what's being done and what's being said. Statements about children. Listed this one. It says, attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" And her mother said, "Well, because white is the color of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." And the child thought about that for a moment and then said, "Well, so why is the groom wearing black?" There were three boys at school bragging in the schoolyard about their dads. And the first boy said, "Well, my dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper and calls it a poem. They give him $50. He said, yeah, well, my dad, the second one said, that's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper and calls it a song. They give him $100. Third one said, man, I got you guys all beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, and it takes 8 people to collect all the money. Listen to this one. A Sunday school teacher asked her class why Joseph and Mary took Jesus with them to Jerusalem. And the small child replied, well, they couldn't get a babysitter. Another Sunday school teacher discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor father and mother, she asked, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? And without missing a beat, the boy answered, thou shalt not kill. And the last one, at Sunday school, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. And little Johnny seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down there like he was sick and feeling ill and said, Johnny, what's the matter? He responded and said, well, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife. No comments from the men on that one, okay? Guys, again, it's the simplicity that a child, obviously, sometimes the child doesn't understand the full picture of what's going on. And again, that's my point is, here's what our attitude needs to be. It needs to be childlike, but at the same time, let me give it balance. Now that we're talking about being aware of the scholarly mindset and the intellectual mindset, letting that prevent you from the things that God has for you. But at the same time, as I said, does that mean that we're not studied? No, not at all. Christians are to be studied, and Christians are to be well taught. See, we're not dealing here with a situation of attitude, or rather aptitude. We're dealing with attitude. It's not aptitude that is going to reveal the truths of God's word. It is attitude. It is that heart, that childlikeness heart, that simplicity of the word of God. And notice, as I said, we're commanded to be students of the word. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Notice, diligent to be approved, a worker who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Guys, it's not knowledge and intellect that's bad. It's when the knowledge and intellect makes one think that he's smarter than God and then deny the clear teaching of God's word. That's where the problem comes in. That's what Jesus is dealing with today. Look at verse 25. He says this, he says, and behold, a certain lawyer, that is this scribe, this biblical scholar, this expert in the law, stood up and tested him, note that word, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now again, as we said, it's not a lawyer as we talk about today. This was a biblical scholar, if you will, and apparently an unsaved biblical scholar. Now don't be shocked by that. You might say, wait a minute, an unsaved biblical scholar? How can somebody be a biblical scholar and be unsaved? How can somebody study the word all the time and actually be called now an expert by the higher institutions and not even know the Lord? Guys, it happens all the time. Because God is not reached or attained by intellect. God is reached and attained by heart. So don't be shocked when you see these things. Listen, simply knowing the Bible does not mean you're a believer. Satan knows the Bible very well. And I should say, not that you're a believer as much as that you're saved, because Satan knows the Bible better than most of us in this room, probably all of us in this room. He's had a long time to look at it, and yet, guys, he's not going to be in the kingdom. I had a friend who boasted of knowing over 1,000 verses he had memorized as a hobby. He was not a Christian. He just liked, he has a great mind, and he just, you know, he's one of these intellects that ended up getting saved and on, just his great mind. He's putting all this stuff in there. Guys, he knew, I forget how many it was. On the low end, like 1,200. On the high end, 1,600. I forget verses that he had memorized. And now he says, you know what? I never knew the Lord. He said, I could quote verse like that. I could throw things out anywhere. He said, but I didn't know the Lord. So don't ever be impressed by Bible knowledge. It's not the Bible knowledge that's the litmus test. It's the heart. And it's, does it line up with God's word? You know, the life, if you will, that's how we know. Now notice this, it's a good question. He says, what must I do to be saved? I think we all need to ask that at some point, but it's a bad motive. And see, the Bible says that God looks at the heart and God looks at the motives. The word tested here means to prove as if something might not be real. In other words, Lord, I don't believe that you're the real thing, and I'm going to test you here to find out if you know the proper answer. The grammar, it reveals again that it has an intensified meaning with ill intent. And it's interesting here, you know, again, he wants to find out, Lord, do you know what you're talking about? And I have to say this always brings a smile to my face when I see or hear these biblical scholars or these who think that they are challenging Jesus. When you go through the scriptures, you see the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the scribes, they come up and they're challenging the Lord with this air about, well, then if that's the case, then what about this? That always brings a smile to my face. Why? John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. What is that telling us? Well, number one, of course, that Jesus is God. We know that as Christians. But number two, what is it telling us? Guys, Jesus Christ is in some mystical way, and I'm not getting strange on the mysticism, but he is the Word of God. He is the embodiment in human flesh. He's not a piece of paper with words on him. He's a real being, but he is the actual living Word. That's what he was. Now imagine this. Here comes the Word alive in human form walking around on the earth, and the biblical scholars want to argue about the Word with what? The Word. Do you find that amusing? And so when I see him come up and say, I'm sorry, excuse me, Bible, I want to ask you a question about the Bible. Okay, go ahead. What's your question? Well, you seem to say that we can only get to the Father by this way. What do you know? Well, yeah, that's what it's... I mean, the point is, that's what the Lord was, guys. You can't argue with the Word. That's why when they tried it, it's like he was the Word living. It just came out and they were just silenced. These biblical scholars, well-versed in memorization and knowledge of Holy Writ, but they didn't know the one who wrote it. See, and that's the problem. The Lord knew this wasn't a sincere question. And guys, there'll be those people that will come to you and they're going to ask you questions that are not sincere. They have a motive behind it. That's where this man was. He wanted to get in a theological debate. They'll say things like this. So if you believe that so-and-so, then what about this? They're not really saying, you know what? I really just want to know what the Bible says. Can you show me what the Bible says about this issue? No, they have an agenda. And they want to come up and they want to try to trap you by some question so they can prove their point, you know, and get things in the way they want to. And again, that's why it's amusing to me they try to do this with the Lord. This was not a sincere question, but he was trying to start a theological debate, simply wanting to make his point. And you know, it's interesting to me, I run into these guys, they're a lot like a porcupine. If you want to have like a visual picture, they've got a lot of good points, but there's nothing you can really hold on to. And that's exactly how they are. And they take pride in all their little points. But you try to get near them, there's no warmth. There's no love. There's no embraceability. They're right. The problem is, typically, they are dead right. We need to be theologically correct. We need to be doctrinally accurate. But if we get so dead right in what we believe that we are not allowing the love of God to overflow in us and reach others who have needs and don't really want a theological debate, they just need Jesus, guys, we're not going to be worth anything to the Lord. We may win a theological debate. We may get hired as a professor at some university. But the problem is we're never going to be anything that's worthwhile for the kingdom. You know, it's interesting. They don't usually affect lives. They usually infect them. I had a conversation with a guy like this the other day. Considers himself an intellectual and trying to be, you know, this and that and talking about theology. You know, and I know the moment I saw him, I said, oh, here it is. You know, we're going to talk. And I hate that. Because he's got all these theological things. He's one of those that says, well, Israel's not really Israel today. Okay, the Bible says Israel's Israel, but you don't understand. I have higher knowledge than God's word. And so Israel's not Israel. Israel's really the church. And the church is really Israel, you see. And so you've got it wrong. And so because of that, I want to have this theological debate with you. Why do you think Israel's Israel? Well, because the Bible says it is. Aha! That's just because you haven't studied enough. Well, it doesn't say anywhere they're not. Well, no, you see, Israel's not Israel. Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. You say Israel's not Israel, right? Right. The Bible literally says that God will take Israel out of the land for a limited amount of time. Then God in the last days will bring them back and reestablish them in the land. Yeah? Well, what have you seen? Look at Israel today. God made a promise to those people. He's brought them back to the land. God's fulfilling his promise. What do you say to that? He said, I don't have an answer for that. I said, because you know why? Because there isn't one other than God said what he said and God means what he says. And all you're doing is wasting time running all these theological wheels and these theological doctrinal arguments. Hey, just believe his word. He said, I love you. He said, Israel, if the sun and moon burn out, then I'm done with you. He said, if they don't, I'm going to fulfill my promise. I don't know about you guys, but I've noticed the sun and moon still hanging around. Amen. Guys, that's what the Bible says. And so we need to be very basic on the word of God and simply believe God for what his word says and not try to make some huge thing out of it. Now notice the first question here that the Lord does. Notice verse 26. So the Lord said to him, he says, so teacher, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And again, remember, the motive is wrong. So the Lord says, what's written in the law? what is your reading of it? Now, this is interesting. Notice the first question. The guy comes and says, now, what exactly does the Bible say? And notice what he says here. What he says immediately, he says, you know what? He says, what do you think it says? Read it to me. What does it say to you? Boy, their intent. Just get it. I mean, he says, what does the Bible say? How do you read it? And again, guys, this is that whole mindset of basically, I have a question to bring to you, Lord. I have something I want to bring to you. What is your interpretation of it? And the Lord turns it back on him and says, you know what? What's your interpretation? You read it to me. Now, guys, notice this. There's a clue in here now when it comes to reaching those that are questioning God's word. When they want to ask you a question about God's word, what do? Well, the thing you do is ask them a question. Okay, wait a minute. What does it say to you? Let me give you a classic example. John chapter 14, verse 6. Many people will say, you read that to him, you say, you know what? Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. That means Islam, Buddhism, Confucius, all of them are wrong. And there's only one way to get into the heaven by the Father. There's only one way by Jesus Christ. That's it. Only one way. How do we do that? How do I do that? Jesus said there's the only way. And what they'll say typically is, that's your interpretation. Guys, have them read it. Notice what the Lord did. What's your reading of it? How do you view that? How do you see it? Read it back to me. And they read it back saying, don't interpret, just read it to me. Now, what does that mean to you? Notice he's being very basic here. He's saying, look, here's what the word says. Read it back. What is your reading of the law here? It causes them to compare and think about the way they view things as to how God views them, or rather how what God actually says. See, guys, here's what I want to note. Everybody in this room has an opinion. Everybody. All of you have an opinion. And I don't mean to be rude or mean, but when it comes to the things of God, God doesn't really care about our opinion. God cares about what his word says. So we have to take our opinion, lay our opinion aside and say, you know what? What does the word say? And then basically we just kind of go from there and say, all right, here's what the word says. Let's deal with it. If taken simply and literally, it's easy. But guys, if you're looking for an excuse, you can get out of anything. And that's just how it is. You can get out of anything. Now, notice how Jesus handled him. Again, he took him back to the word. Doesn't always work, but he took him back to the word. Didn't use personal arguments. He said, hey, what does it say? You read it. What's the reading of it to you? And again, asked him a question. Now, note this, guys. Again, a way oftentimes to approach the skeptic or the unbeliever is what? Ask them a question. Oftentimes they come and ask you questions. Ask them a question back. Think of a question that applies to their heart that they now have to answer out of their own lips. The Lord, again, utilizes this beautifully. We see him do it all through the scriptures. He says, all right, you want to know what it says? Read it to me. What does it say? Notice what he answered, verse 27. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Now note this, he quotes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus 19. And I love Jesus's answer because he says, well, what does it say? The guy tells him, he says, all right, we'll do it. Guys, really, that's why I'm not the best counselor. Now, when it comes to being able to give you God's word, I can give you God's word. But when it comes to having that counseling approach as far as, somebody comes in and they says, you know, look, I've got this problem. I've got this area. What do I do about this? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says don't do it. Okay, don't. All right, well, great. Let's pray. Lord, bless them from this wonderful time of session and just heal them, Lord. Amen. Like 5 minutes. No, you're done. I mean, that's really, now I don't do that. Those of you that we've sat down and talked, you know that I don't do that. But in all honesty, guys, my approach is pretty much, what does the Bible say? Well, do it. It's just kind of like, but I can't. You don't understand. No, we always have this list of excuses about why we can't do it. Notice the Lord didn't take a list of excuses from him. He says, what does the Bible say? Well, this. Okay, do it. Do it and you'll live. Just be obedient. Don't make excuses. Don't blame dad and mom. Don't talk about it being a stronghold since you were a child. Obey it. If I've asked you to do it, I'll give you the power to. It's time. And see, that's the approach the Lord takes here. And I really, personally, I like that. I mean, it would make for a very short counseling meeting. But anyway, notice there's no secret meaning here. It's not hard to understand. Didn't want to make it complicated. He simply wanted to say what to do. Why was he trying to make it complicated? Guys, the reason he was trying to make it complicated is, here's the bottom line. He knew what the word said. He just didn't want to obey it. And next week, what we're going to see as we move on with this character, when he gets to a little bit beyond this first question, it says that trying to justify himself, he asked the Lord another question. And that's what you're going to run into. People trying to justify themselves because of what they're doing. I know what the word says, but here's why I'm doing this. I know the word says that, but here's why I'm doing that. It's justification. The Lord says there is no justification. What does the word say? Here's what it says, Lord. Well, do it. Not complicated. Not hard. Just a matter of obedience. You know, and again, I run into this on a regular basis. Now, again, the problem with this man, he was more concerned about arguing over the scripture to prove his point than he was just simply obeying the word of God. Guys, I see this on a regular basis. And maybe some of you have seen this as well. Notice Jesus said to him, do this and live. See, Christianity is not a list of things you can't do. Christianity is a list of things, not even really a list, but things you can do. It's what you can be doing for the Lord. I mean, again, note this. He knew what was right. He just wasn't doing it and didn't want to do it. Now, notice what the word says here. Interesting. Out of this own man's mouth, I want to look a little bit at verse 27. Notice what he said that we're to do here, that all of us. And by the way, every single one of these phrases come with a meaning here in the language of a self-denial. So note that. Notice first, how do we love the Lord? Number one, with all of our heart. Guys, notice, how much of your heart? All of it. See, the question for us today is, how much of my heart am I giving to the Lord this morning? How much is it really all His, or is part of it held back for me? No, all of it needs to be given to the Lord. Guys, the heart is the seat of feelings and emotions. Our emotions, even our emotions and feelings should be given over to the Lord. Notice secondly, he says, love the Lord with all your soul. Now, what does all your soul mean here? It means personality and individual distinctiveness. Who you are. Guys, when you become a Christian, it's okay to be who you are. Now, I want to say this. If you talk to me out of the pulpit and I talk to you differently than I do in the pulpit, there's a problem. I mean, I want to be very gingerly. I want to be very careful on this. But I've seen people before that seem very normal out of the pulpit. But when they get in the pulpit, there's a change to the voice. Even God is said differently. Now, I'm not picking on my brothers. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying, I think what happens is sometimes we think that when we're standing a certain place or wearing a certain outfit or whatever, that somehow we're different. Listen, love the Lord with all your soul, all your distinctiveness, who you are. I'm a little bit silly. That doesn't mean I don't take the word of God seriously. I take the word of God very seriously. It's a life and death matter. It's an eternal matter. And I base my entire existence on it. But there are those who maybe wouldn't understand that, might see me being silly or telling a joke or two and saying, well, this guy's not very serious. No, I am very serious. But my personality is one of humor. My personality is one of just kind of, this is it. It's okay, whatever you're like right now, whatever you're like, serve the Lord that way. Just be yourself. Now, I'm not saying, if there's areas God needs to clean up. You know, when I first came to the Lord, there's areas where silliness can get you in trouble, and there's things where immaturity or saying the wrong thing, God dealt with those areas, and I'm sure is still dealing. But the point is this, I'm not saying don't let God grow you, don't let God mature you, but be yourself. Just relax. You don't have to be somebody different. If you get up and share, just get up and share. If you're going to do a Bible study, do one. You don't have to, it's this love the Lord with all your soul, your personality, your individual distinctiveness. Thirdly, notice, love Him with all your strength. It means physical service. We should be serving the Lord physically in some way. It doesn't mean necessarily it even has to be at your church. I think that's good, but are you serving your family? Are you serving? As you need to be serving. Are you serving the fellowship? You need to be serving. If you want to love the Lord the way the Bible tells us, that's what you do. It's all of your heart. It's all of your soul. It's all of your physical part too. It's all of your strength, he said. What you're using your strength on doesn't mean you can't do other things. Don't get me wrong. But using that strength to serve the Lord, that's what it means here. Fourthly, notice this. He says, love Him with all of your mind. The thinking capabilities, or we would say the intellect. It is interesting to me, especially on today's subject, that this man answered to serve the Lord with all your mind. Why did God give us intellect? To serve Him and to love Him. And yet, what is oftentimes the excuse of not being able to come to Christ? Intellectual excuses. No, there are no excuses intellectually. It's a heart problem. The intellect is given of the Lord. It's God doing it. But notice lastly here, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the last command he gave. The Bible says that we all naturally love ourselves. Now, you might not think that. You may not like the way you're living. You may not like some of the things you've done, but you naturally love yourself. What do I mean by that? Well, again, I'll use the basic example. We take a snapshot of you guys and put it out there in the hallway. When the service is over, who's the first person you're going to look for? Me, right? Yeah, you're all going to go look for me. Where's Pastor Mark? Because you love me more than you love yourself. No, you look for you. It's a natural thing. We naturally love ourselves. It's something that it starts out as children, and God says, I've got to take that and I've got to burn that out of you. See, the world today gives us this thing and says, you know what? You don't love yourself enough, so you need to learn to love yourself more. Guys, that is exactly contrary to what Scripture teaches. Although that's in the church, I'm sorry, that's non-biblical. The Bible says the problem is you love yourself too much. And until you learn to stop loving yourself so much and start reaching out and loving others, you're still going to be miserable. Why are you so miserable? It's because your life isn't going the way you want it to, and you love yourself so much, you think you deserve better. You ever heard people say, well, you know, I hate myself so much. I wish I was this or whatever. And if you really hated yourself, you would be glad that you're miserable. Think about it logically. If you really hated yourself, you'd be saying, I want to be more miserable because I hate myself. No, what you want better because you care about yourself. You love yourself. And so the Lord is saying, listen, that's established. The Bible says you naturally love yourself. Here's the challenge. Love others. Reach out beyond your own self and love others. You know, one of the greatest places for self-pity and depression, one of the greatest things to do is to begin to serve and love others. Because it gets your eyes off of you, and now you begin to serve and love others, and you can minister to them. So again, loving others. You know, what's the main message today? What's the Lord saying? Here's what he's saying, guys. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it simple. There's nothing wrong in being a student of the Word of God. I consider myself a student of the Word of God. My life is to study God's Word. My life is to do this. We need to be students of God's Word. But let's keep it simple. You know, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. And the bad thing about a young Christian getting too much knowledge too fast is they're worthless. Because now they think they're great. You know, it's interesting. When I first got saved, I thought I had all the answers. You know, come to me. I'll tell you. And boy, did God show me over the years, Mark, you know nothing. And it seems like the older I get, the less I know. Now, maybe there's a true biological reason for that. I don't know. But guys, the bottom line is that keep it simple. Keep it basic. God means what he says. God says what he means. Here's the bottom line. Are we going to obey it? What is God saying to your heart this morning? What's he telling you to do? What is that area right now that God's putting his finger on your heart and you're justifying? You're saying, you know what? I know what the Bible says, but right now, this is what we need to do. Right now, we can't really obey in that area because right now, our circumstances are such that we can't obey that right now. So Lord, you understand. I know your word says it, but here really, I'm justifying myself, am I not? And guys, again, we're going to see next week, this man tries to go on to justify himself, and the Lord ends up saying there is no justification for disobedience to the word. Simply obey and then trust in me to do what needs to be done. You know, I guess the Lord would say this, just do it. You know, Nike didn't come up with that. The Lord did. Just do it. Just obey. And let's guard ourselves also, guys, from being so sophisticated and intellectual that we can't simply present God's word, God's love, and God's forgiveness to a hurting world out there. They need the Lord. And make sure that we're not making a point to argue our theology and our doctrine. Yes, do we stand on the way to salvation? You better believe it. Do we budge? No way. But guys, we can waste a lot of time arguing about theological things that don't make a bit of difference that we'll all know once we get in the kingdom. Our job is to go out and simply share the gospel and Jesus Christ, to be diligent students in the word so that we can be equipped and we can share the way God wants us to. And what I want to encourage you guys to do today is simply come to the Lord as a child. Now, a lot of you already know the Lord. Maybe most of you know the Lord. I don't know that. But I know this, is there may be some of you here today that don't really know the Lord. Listen, just simply come to the Lord as a child. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to pray a certain way. I love baby Christians when they pray. You ever hear them? I love it. You know, it's like because, you know, suddenly we begin to get older in the Lord, and then we kind of come up with all of our phrases and our cliches, and we have to pray a certain way, you know, because the people are hearing, and oh Lord, you know, lead, guide, and direct, you know, and whatever it might be. We all have our little saying, you know, that we all do. But it almost becomes rote. Because it doesn't really mean anything to our heart. Man, baby Christians, I remember we were, and I shared this with you guys, when I was in this group a long time ago when I got some trouble and had just a few days in jail. And so, and that was, you know the story, that's before Christ. And we had this guy coming in and sharing the gospel. I'm sitting there with these other guys in the room, and there's this huge big guy there tall like this, scared us to death. I'm thinking, if there's ever going to be, you know, some guy that's going to like attack us in prison, we'll have some horror story, it'll be him. He's going to be the one that's, you know. And so we're just sharing with him, you know, and by then I'd been saved. I had something to do after, you know, the delay court things. Anyway, the point is, we're sharing with this guy and we're thinking, oh God, you know, it's almost like, please save him, Lord, for our sakes. Please God, please God, please God. And all of a sudden this guy says, look, if you want to say this prayer, pray after me. Sometimes we do that. And I know there's some people that in their hearts very quietly go, you know, Father, come in our heart. Not this guy. It was like, pray after me. Oh Lord, oh Lord. And all of us just, our eyes just popped open. Come into my heart. Like, yes, you know, we're saved. You know? But the point is, guys, it's like, listen, just as a child, it's that honest prayer. You hear the honest prayer of a new believer, and they just talk to the Lord. When you pray, you don't have to be fancy. You don't say thee and thou. You don't have to have a certain whatever. Just, Lord, I love you and thank you for today, and you're so good, God, and I just love. Just be yourself. Love him with all your soul, your individual personality, the way you are. He loves it better that way anyway. He made you how you are. He receives you that way. Here's my point. If you don't know the Lord today, and you're here today, and you're saying, you know what? I don't know that God would ever accept me, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, and you guys, Christians, whatever. Listen, just come to the Lord like a child. Just come and say, you know what, Father, your word says that no one goes to the Father except by Jesus, that he died on the cross for my sins, that his blood cleanses me of my sins if I ask forgiveness, that he rose again 3 days later. He's alive, and because he's alive, I can be alive. I believe that. Lord, come into my heart and be my Lord. I give myself to you. It's that simple. And guys, for the believers in this room, listen, if you're trying to get all sophisticated, don't worry about it when you're around the sophisticated crowd. Hey, again, there's no excuse for being ignorant to the word of God. I'm not saying that. Be students. Gain knowledge, gain understanding, gain wisdom, as the Proverbs say, when it comes to the word of God. As Paul said, Timothy, diligently work to show yourself approved of God, a workman who need not be ashamed. But don't try to be somebody special and somebody high and mighty and somebody that's greater than everyone else. Simply be who you are and simply present the simple good news of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness for all. Let's pray. Lord, that's how we want to receive you today. Very simply. Truly, Lord, your word is complex in many areas. And truly, Lord God, your intellect is way higher than any man's could ever be. There are deep riches in your word. But Lord, guard us from being like this scribe. Guard us, Lord, from being like the biblical scholar who thinks we have all of our ducks in a row, Lord, and we simply won't just listen to your word. We simply won't obey your word. And Lord, we do whatever it is that we do to try to make our point, if you will. Lord, help us today just be like your children, loving you as your children and knowing that we're received, warts and all, flaws and all, as your little children, Lord. And God, I pray if there's any here today that don't know you, Lord, they've never given their life to you, and maybe even they've used the excuse of their intellect. Lord, you're the one that gave them their thinking abilities. Don't let a gift from you keep them from the eternal gift of the kingdom. Lord, pierce the hearts today and draw those to yourself that you have called. We love you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.